For the first time ever, I think I have an introduction tonight that is topical and related to this evening's story, which I mention only because I'm a big braggart. Anyhow, for those of you not in the US, you should know that the branch of our government that manages the circulation of money, I call them the US Treasury, is currently issuing new paper bills, which are much more colourful than the old ones, and they've got large patriotic slogans proudly painted across the front. Now, I've been with a few people when they've first seen them, and the reaction is a little unsettled and sceptical because it's not what anybody is used to. But today I was at a shop behind a girl at the register who'd been given one for the first time, and she exclaimed to the cashier, "There's no way this is real! Everybody knows there's a worldwide law that money has to be green." To which I have two reactions. Number one, yes, my listeners, these girls exist in this world, maybe even in boy form. And two, if that girl is listening right now, there's actually not such a law at all. So, this thematically is very close to what you're about to hear. That said, good evening. It's Wednesday, the 12th of April 2006, I think. And it's Miette's Bedtime Story Podcast. Slipping Beauty by Jerome Wideman. He was a little man, with an untidy beard and a prominent paunch that seemed startlingly out of place because of his emaciated appearance. Winter and summer, he wore a battered cap, a leather vest, and a look of indifferent resignation, well seasoned with disgust, that gave no hint of the almost violent loquacity he could attain without even a moment of preparation. In a world of trucks and automobiles, he drove a flat, open wagon behind a huge, drooping horse. And, although his seltzer bottles came in neatly cased boxes of tin, he preferred to carry them by their spouts, five in each hand, like clusters of grapes, and take his chances on opening doors with shoulder shoves and kicks. His service was erratic, but adequate, and when, by his strange method of rotation, your name came up again to the top of his list, you could no more prevent him from making his delivery than you could convince him that his prices were exorbitant. He has come on Sundays and holidays, during parties and illnesses, and once, when a severe snowstorm had tied the city's traffic into a knot, he rang the bell after midnight and carried in his 10 bottles of seltzer without a word of apology or explanation. "Look here, Mr. Yavner," I said irritably. "You can't make deliveries as late as this. You can't come ringing bells at this..." "I can't?" he asked, and his eyes widened in a look of surprise that should have warned me. I knew from experience that it wouldn't do any good. But when you're aroused after midnight from a sleep that you have attained with difficulty, and need very much to admit a middle-aged man with his hands full of seltzer bottles that, considering the temperature and the season, you don't need at all, you are apt to forget the things that experience has taught you. "I mean," I said stubbornly, "you'll just have to learn, Mr. Yavner, that when..." "Learn," he said, and the surprise was now in his voice. "I got to learn?" I could tell, by the glint in his eyes, that, from the standpoint of my much-needed sleep, I could have chosen a far more opportune time to bring order into Mr. Yavner's chaotic delivery system. I made a hasty, desperate attempt to head him off. or head him off. "Not that I mean anything, Mr. Yavner," I began conciliatingly. But I was too late. "In America," Mr. Yavner was saying, shaking his head like a tolerant master with a slow pupil, "in America, there's no such thing as learn. In America, nobody learns. In America, they only teach." He set down his clusters of empty seltzer bottles and faced me squarely. "A minute you could listen," he said bluntly. "In the old country, my father, he should rest in peace, he told me I shouldn't play with the knife, I'll cut myself. So if I didn't listen to him, and I played with the knife, so what happened? So I cut myself. He told me maybe I shouldn't go into the street without the coat, I'll catch a cold. So I went into the street without a coat, so, like he said, I caught a cold. But in America?" He shrugged for emphasis, and the habitual look of disgust on his face deepened a shade or two. "Go, try teach children something in America. Go," he said. "Listen what I got. I got two daughters. The above one should take care of them. They're beauties. Such a two girls like I got, it could be, I don't know, even a governor. He would still be happy to have such a two daughters, the way mine look. The oldest, my Yeti, is already 10 years she's bringing money into the house, steady every week. She went to business school, she studied hard, she got a good job, she makes steady wage, she puts in the bank, she brings home. Is good, no? Comes at night, she comes home, she eats, she helps maybe the mother a little, she reads a book, she listens a little the radio, she goes to sleep like a regular person. Is bad, maybe? In Europe, a girl like that, a girl like my Yeti, she knows to cook, she knows to sew, to bake, to clean, she knows what a dollar is. A girl like that in Europe, she could find a dozen. A dozen? A hundred. She could find 100 fellas they should kiss their fingers to the sky 7 days a week, if they would only look on them a little the right way. But in America, go be smart in America. Then, my other daughter, my Jenny, the baby, to look at, a doll, but lazy. The above one should save us from such a lazy ones. Came in the middle high school, all of a sudden she got tired. By her, it's no more school. By me, she says no school, so all right, is no school. But instead she should get a job like her older sister, like Yeti instead that. So a whole day she lays in bed with magazines and the cigarettes. And the whole night she's running around with the boys, those little rutzers. They ain't even got a job. Not one of them in the whole bunch. A whole night long you don't see her, and then comes next day, the whole day it's the magazines and the cigarettes. A whole day long it's smook, 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 smook. No job, no work, no nothing. Only like a king's daughter, she lays in the bed the whole day. And you got to bring her eat, yet too, and the whole night she's running around the above one, alone knows where. But I'm a father. By me is the same thing, my Yeti. She works and brings money in house. Oh, my Jenny. She lays in bed there a whole day. So I talk to her. I tell her she should make something for herself. She should get a job and go sleep early like a regular person, and get up early, and put money in bank, and stop so much with the cigarettes and the boys. Like her sister, Yetty. I tell her she should be. She should learn to cook and sew and keep a house clean and put a little money in bank, so it'll come a nice fella some day with a good steady job. He'll see what a nice girl she is. She knows what's in her house to do, so he'll marry her, like some day happen with her sister Yetty, I tell her. And she make for him a good wife. So, you think she listens to me? Like I should talk to a wall. In Europe, a father talks to a child, so it happens she should know the father was right. But in America... He leaned toward me and tapped my shoulder with his finger as he spoke. In America is different, he said. One day, she's laying there in the bed with the magazines and the cigarettes and the smoke. All of a sudden, the blankets, they catch on fire. In a minute more, it's the whole bed and the curtains. And in 1, 2, 3, is there the fire engines and the policemen and the firemen, and there's excitement, above one in heaven down to ask. And from the firemen there comes running in one, a nice young fella, and he picks her up and carries her down from the house, and before you can turn yourself around, he falls in love with her, and 2 weeks later they're in a big hurry, they run, get married. And he's got yet such a steady job by the city. There, a whole year regular, he gets wages. Mr. Yavner paused, and the disgust in his face gave way to a look of meditative resignation. How you think it makes a father feel? He sees his oldest daughter sitting and sitting, and the youngest, she gets married. He's nice, maybe. So my Yetty, she's older. She went to business school. She's got a job. She knows to cook, and to sew, and to everything. So she's still sitting, waiting. And my Jenny, she's younger. From school she got right away tired. A job she's never had. A whole day she laid in bed smoking cigarettes, and a whole night she ran around. So my Jenny, she's the one she's got now, a fine husband with a steady job. He reached down for his clusters of bottles, swung the door open with his foot, and held it wide for a moment with his shoulder as he looked at me. "That's your America," he said, with the faintest hint of derision in his voice. "That's where you want I should learn things," he said, as he stepped away from the door and shut it behind him with a crash that echoed throughout the midnight stillness of the house.